There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Still point out, that's not a question, not a true interrogatory, but that's how we start off Midday Mobile on a Monday, starting another week here, live local talk. You and I, lots to talk about the next 2 hours, 343-0106. That's the phone number, text line, 343-0106. Kind of run through some of the things already on the docket, and then you can add to this as well today. Coming up, Bill Britt from the Alabama Political Reporter. You know, so much discussion about this lotto bill, McClendon's lotto bill, is hovered around, is it a clean bill? It's a clean mystery. Is it a clean lotto bill? What does that mean? Is it just specifically? Because, you know, this is the bill is a two-part thing for lotto. Number one, you move for a constitutional amendment, something that will be on the ballot in 2020, saying that, we the people of Alabama would like to amend the Constitution of 1901 to be able to make lotto legal. That's not the exact parlance. They'll put it in, but that's the meat of it. Second part, second bill, is the how lotto works. You know, what agency you start, when do you start the lottery, how do you pay out, what percentage, all that kind of stuff. So the first part is to change the state constitution to be able to do this in the first place. Second part is to be able to have the mechanism for running the lottery and all that jazz that would go with it. Well, in that jazz, that's where some of the dirt gets on the clean bill. And Bill Britt from Alabama Political Reporter will join us at 1 o'clock to talk about that in detail. That's coming up. Plus, oh, here's another one. Chick-fil-A booted from another airport now in Buffalo, New York. I think it's probably because there's probably some kind of protectionism for Buffalo wings. I'm just an idea. But this attack, you know, you heard it from Texas. You've heard this discussion of not having Chick-fil-A's in airports because of their stance on same-sex marriage. Something that, well, New York politician now has booted them from a Buffalo airport, Buffalo, New York airport. We'll talk more about that coming up, run down the list of places this has happened. That's coming up in hour number two. This hour, a couple things to do. Number one, at 12:30, Senator Doug Jones is going to join us. We're a lot to talk about with Senator Jones. Medicaid expansion. He says it's time for Alabama to do it. Of course, Republicans in the state will have actually brought the subject up of Medicaid expansion, but they're saying, hey, there may not be the money for Medicaid expansion. How do we do this? Because Senator Jones thinks this is a good idea and the state should move forward, and he's got some legislation in Washington he says could make it easier. So we'll find out how he has that laid out. Also, introducing legislation to prevent hate crimes. He'll talk about that, and then we'll ask him. He was a no vote on the Green New Deal, Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal. Senator Doug Jones voted no against the wishes of Chuck Schumer and other Senate Democrats. We'll find out why he voted no. So that's coming up. Also, as we talk about Democrats, I wrote this in my notes here. Does this make it? Is Joe Biden getting Roy Moore'd? Is Joe Biden getting Roy Moore'd? We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes. And also, as we talk about what's going on in Montgomery, a couple things. The lotto bill, of course, McClendon's lotto bill, back in the mix tomorrow, which, by the way, if you haven't been watching, and that's okay, I get it. The legislature was on spring break last week. That's why we had a lot of those folks chiming in on the shows talking about bills they wanted to move in session, right? I had the discussion of the vaping limits law. That was in the mix. Also, lotto, we talked about the hands-free, right, the law to make it to where you cannot touch your cell phone while you're driving in Alabama, the road rage bill And then one that we started talking about this morning, pre-filed over the weekend, and has some people talking, has sent me a lot of text and emails about this. And this is a bill filed over the weekend by Representative Tommy Little out of Tuscumbia, the Roll Tide War Eagle Reinvestment Act. And this is, the way I see it right now, this goes to committee, the Finance Committee in the House. So anything that's a revenue bill starts in the House, right? The House holds the purse strings. So it goes to committee in the Finance Committee in the House, and then it might go, although somebody said it might go to Telecom Committee, but I imagine it probably goes to revenue. And they said they could get a reading of the bill in front of the House as early as this week. Of course, it would have to have three readings in the House and get the vote before it would go to the Senate. I don't know if it has traction in the Senate or not. We're looking for that. But this is the bill. So Representative Little says, in light of Auburn's win, and he said this before the win from Auburn yesterday. So he was just saying that when it was the Elite Eight. He said, in light of Auburn's win and the great performance of both Auburn and Alabama, in sports nationally, it's the right time for Alabamians to give back. This plan, and I think this is going to get argued about too, the Roll Tide War Eagle Reinvestment Act, this would tax viewers by TV per household. Okay. By TVs within a household, between 1.5 to 3 cents per hour per set. Bars, restaurants, and commercial properties would pay more per hours viewed. So, okay, here's the breakdown. I'll put it in Sullivanese. That you've got a TV on in the house, and Alabama or Auburn is on that TV, whether it be basketball or football. And I guess it would apply to other sports, but let's just talk about the ones that will be on the most. Whether it be basketball or football, that TV set is on. And for each hour that TV set is on a channel where Alabama or Auburn is playing, you're paying between 1.5 to 3 cents per hour per set. You got three TVs on the house watching the same game, something like that. You're paying times three. So it's not per household. It is per set. Now, of course, this is, we talked about this morning, obviously not thought through because people can get the football games a lot of times if it's like a CBS game or something over digital antenna. Of course, they said nothing about radio, so we'll keep it quiet there. No tax on us. You can listen to the games on the radio. Or if you're somebody who uses like one of those streaming services and the Fire Stick and all that stuff, you can watch it there and work around. But this would be, I guess, through satellite providers and cable providers, a 1.5 to 3 cent per TV per hour viewed of Alabama or Auburn. So if any game Alabama is in or any game Auburn's in, you get the charge. If you're watching, the way we looked at it this morning, if you're watching some kind of game that doesn't involve Alabama or Auburn, guess there's no money. Which leaves the question, what about South? What about Troy? What about UAB? What about other football programs in the state? There's no tax on them. I mean, they're leaving them out of it. And the split is 50-50, just like the lotto. But they said 50% to go to the colleges or the universities. I'd amend that. So Auburn University, University of Alabama, each get half of 50%, so they get 25% of the revenue. The other 50% would go to the general fund. So once again, the Roll Tide War Eagle Reinvestment Act, and similar things have been done, like they did in New York there with Yankee Stadium. The areas around Yankee Stadium have had money reinvested by that tax that they put on people who are watching the Yankees game on TV. And it's the same deal up there. It's more if you're like, you know, a bar or restaurant showing the game, but if you're at your house, I don't know what their cents are per hour. But that money goes into a fund, and then New York reinvests a portion of that in the community surrounding Yankee Stadium, help people open up businesses, all those kind of things. So this is the idea being pushed by Representative Little out of Tuscumbia, the Roll Tide War Eagle Reinvestment Act, one of the things that we could maybe see this week in the legislature. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we get back right here on Midday Mobile. Our phone number, our text line, 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I got 1220 FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you here. Still cool out there. Walked out to the truck earlier. 60, they're saying, officially here at our studios, heading for a low tonight around 44. A couple more days of this cool, dry weather, and then the rain moves in by the end of the week. Full details coming up with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. And we'll get his forecast also coming up in just about 10 minutes. Senator Doug Jones, lots to talk about with the senator. He'll be on from about 12:30 to 1 o'clock today. Then Bill Britt from the Alabama Political Reporter on the way as well. All right, run through some of these texts. I'd love to hear your calls, too. If you listen, some of y'all have questions about this bill, I mean, that I can't answer. I mean, once again, I don't have the full text of the bill. Here's what I know is the... I guess the bill filed over the weekend by Representative Tommy Little out of Tuscumbia and would be in the Finance Committee as of tomorrow. Of course, it moves from there. Would have to have three readings in the House and see what the House does with it. If they would tweak, I think there's going to have to be tweaks on this as well, because Representative Little's bill is specific to Auburn and Alabama. Once again, if you didn't catch it when we opened up, and we talked about it in the 8 o'clock hour as well, this plan would tax... viewers by TV, well, TV, it would tax TVs that are on Alabama or Auburn sports between 1.5 to 3 cents per hour per TV set. Of course, that's residential properties that are, you know, if you're running a commercial, you know, sports bar or whatever, you pay more. It didn't lay out that full pay structure there. But one of the things that worries me, between 1.5 to 3 cents, that's a, you know, I was a guy that spent the time in the communications building, not the mathematics building, but that's like 100% increase right there. And also, it says it would be available as sports contracts change to raise the price, raise the percentage of tax, raise the cents on each hour per TV set. All right. And so, yeah, one of the questions, what about South Alabama? What about Troy? What about UAB? Those games are not listed. Haven't heard anything from Auburn University or University of Alabama on this. Maybe Dalton can get some answers tonight. I think he's going to be talking with the folks from Auburn about the hoops, and maybe he can get some kind of their take on this. And I guess if you're watching out-of-state games, if you're watching watching like a Tennessee, Florida, or something like that, you'd be unlucky watching that. But you wouldn't be paying any money. So okay, so there it is. It's a Roll Tide, and that's the other thing. It's a Roll Tide War Eagle Reinvestment Act. 50% goes to general fund, 50% split between the two universities. I'm sure somebody will petition in the House and call it the War Eagle Roll Tide Reinvestment Act. All right, from the text line here, and then we'll come to the phones as well. Yeah, David in Saraland says, so how long before tax to death? This unnamed texter say, that's crap. I pay for cable, and it's taxed already. Yeah, and so this would show up on your cable or your satellite. John says, forget the fact that it's a selective tax, but concentrate on the fact that Alabama and Auburn have huge endowment funds, and I say that bill is a big fat no. Somebody says, well, what if I'm watching Florida and Alabama play? You're going to pay, because Alabama's, the way I read this, is Alabama's on the screen, and so then you'll pay. It doesn't have to be just like the Iron Bowl. It's any game that has Alabama or Auburn playing, and I guess it's basketball and football, but they didn't say anything about any of the other sports, because some of the other sports make it on occasionally, right? All right, we'll grab your calls at 343-0106. All right, let's see. Oh, okay, and somebody says, well, what if I... Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Somebody asking, what if I take my TV signal over the air with a digital antenna? That's what we're talking about. There's no way for them to know that. So if you're taking it, or if you're streaming it, you know, using one of those ESPN apps, of course you're paying there, but you Fire Stick it or something, and put it on there. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Once again, they've run with a bill in Montgomery without thinking about all the. It's like the spirit. I get the spirit. It's like the spirit of the hands-free bill, right? I don't want people texting and driving. I don't want the danger on the roadway. But don't we just enforce the law we have and work with distracted driving? Because as soon as you say, well, it's hands-free, or they'll say no texting and driving, well, what about Google Maps? What about other things on the phone? What about, isn't it just as distracting to be searching through scrolling through your iPod or something, trying to find a song or a podcast? I mean, Donnie, I don't know. He said, what about picture-in-picture? The way we figured it this morning, it would just be per, I guess it would be per screen, so you pay once? Donnie, that's a great question. I don't know how they would work that out. We will have to find out. Should the Go Jags sue them for discrimination, says Kim. We'll see if they, because they won't get the money. That's one of the points. So, I mean, if this money's being taken in, so okay, here's an example. If you get, if you had some scenario where Auburn or Alabama was playing another in-state school, which is not going to happen, but if they did do that, then the other in-state school wouldn't get any of the money, but the money would be split between Alabama and Auburn 50-50 out of the 50% that goes to the schools. So the way I understand it, 50% goes to general fund, 50% goes to the schools. All right, we can grab your calls on that. Also, let me see, on my list of items here, which, by the way, somebody said, what about the lotto? Isn't this like a lotto? The lotto bill, we're going to talk more about that coming up at 1 o'clock with Bill Britt from the Alabama Political Reporter. He joins us to talk about that. Oh, and let me do this because I know it's in our news update from WKRG, and this is something where you do need a picture with it, but I want to have you go over to WKRG's website, or we can link it up on our social media. Serious story here. Gulf Shores Police actively working a missing person case. Amanda LeBrec was last seen leaving South Baldwin, Baldwin Regional Medical Center on Thursday. Hasn't been seen since. She drives a Kia Soul with Alabama tags, and they give the tag number here, and window stickers of a jellyfish and a sea turtle on the back glass. Anyone has more information, please call Gulf Shores Police Department. So that's, I mean, that usually we're describing some vehicle that's probably hard to pick out, but that one shouldn't be. Has sea turtles and jellyfish and been missing since Thursday when she left South Baldwin Regional Medical Center, so hopefully somebody can help with that. Oh, and then the, did you see the latest here on the Biden thing? There's like a montage of pictures out of former Vice President Joe Biden, like getting way too close to women and all that. But this is, I want to point out that after this latest allegation here, right, this allegation that Biden kissed this woman in Lucy Flores, kissed her on the head and was too close or whispered to her or whatever. If the montage, just help me here, if now the montage of photos of former Vice President Joe Biden coming out is just now hitting, and it's Democrats, which I can tell you it is, Democrats are spearheading this, then that means the Democrats have been in possession of this montage, had this idea for a long time. But they've done nothing about it. This is the stuff that that's why I said maybe getting Roy Moore here for Joe Biden. Once again, this is not a rah-rah-rah for Joe Biden, but the point is, if this information has been out there, which it has, and just now the Democrats are rolling this out, then isn't there some responsibility on the part of the Democrats that have been stockpiling this oppositional research information against Biden that they haven't done anything about it beforehand? If we're going to go full Me Too, why didn't they do anything with this information beforehand? I think this is so transparent as a, you know, political hit job to keep Biden from announcing that he's in, so a bunch of people can line up and say they agree with Biden staying out, and these are the people he would be running against. I think it's beyond simplistic. It's beyond simplistic. Y'all are asking good questions here. I don't have answers to. This texter said, if your TV's off and the game happened to come on the channel your box was on, would you get taxed? It's a great question. I don't know. I don't know. I said you could, yes, I bet you could circumvent the tax by watching. Okay, here we go. Donnie's got an idea. If you turn your TV on a non-Alabama or Auburn game, and then picture in picture the Alabama or Auburn game, does a cable company or satellite company, somebody in this business, can y'all help us? Do y'all know, is it just the main, like when we picture in picture, do you also know that's the channel we're watching? Like if the picture, if the first game, like Donnie's saying here, if you're watching, let's say you're going to watch like Tennessee, Florida, or it's whatever game, it's the South Carolina, Clemson, whatever you're watching that game, and then you picture inside the picture the Alabama game or the Auburn game, would it be hidden? Donnie, great question. I do not have an answer to, but I will work at it. Oh, what about A-Day games? Chester says A-Day games should be taxed at twice the rate. Since the schools charge little to nothing to attend, but they are televised. So Yeah, I guess, yeah, I mean, if the A-Day games are on TV and what Representative Little is talking about, if it's on a TV set and it's coming through cable, coming through satellite, they could be up for the charge. All right, well, we'll talk about this more in the 1 o'clock hour. Coming up next, Senator Doug Jones joins us right here on Midday Mobile. I've got a handful of questions for the senator. You have some as well. You can drop them in on the text line at 343-0106.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And joined today by Senator Doug Jones. Thanks for making time for us.
Hey, my pleasure, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
It's a lot of stuff to talk about today, so I want to get right into it. And first of all, let's talk about the Medicaid expansion. Now, this is a debate that it came up in the past, of course, in our state. Now there seems to be a little more traction in Montgomery on this. What, from a federal perspective, do you see here for Medicaid expansion for the state of Alabama, and why?
I think it's most important for the state. I mean, you can still expand Medicaid right now, and I think the objections in the past have been twofold. One was purely a political objection. I mean, clearly most people acknowledge that it was a political objection dealing with the Affordable Care Act. The second thing, which has some obviously some merit to it, is how we're going to pay for it. What's mm-hmm. going to be the cost to the state of Alabama? But now we've got 7 years worth of data to show that states that have expanded Medicaid have seen an economic expansion. It has saved hospitals. It has improved health outcomes in the state. And so one of the things that we're trying to get pushed up here is what we call the SAME Act, which is a Medicaid expansion act that would really give states like Alabama, there are 14 states that have not expanded Medicaid, a second look. And when they do that, if they would do that, if we can get this bill passed, it would give states like Alabama the ability to expand Medicaid where you got 100% reimbursement over 3 years to give the state the opportunity to be good stewards of the money and try to start expanding and phase in the reimbursement. That would affect some 166,000 people in Alabama or more. It would help outcomes. It would help the bottom line for these rural hospitals that we're losing left and right. And the main thing is it's going to give a whole bunch of people access to health care that really don't have that good access right now.
Okay, Senator, it's a 100% payback?
It would be a 100% match for 3 years, and then it would go. That was what the Affordable Care Act did for so many states. And you know, Sean, I mean, we're not talking about just states that are Democrat versus Republican. I mean, even Mike Pence, when he was the governor of Indiana, expanded Medicaid in the state of Indiana. Louisiana has expanded. Senator McConnell's state of Kentucky has expanded. So there's a number of states. Actually, it wasn't Louisiana. I don't think it was Arkansas that expanded. A number of these states have done this, and they've taken advantage of it because it brings money back in. I mean, this is an investment in one of the biggest economic drivers for the state of Alabama and for the country. Healthcare is a huge economic driver.
Okay, so the 3 years, and then it decreases to 95% funding, 94%, 93%,
right.
And then it sits at 90. Would you have any numbers in front of you? What does that mean? Like, so in the year that it's 90% federal coverage, Alabama's got 10%. Based on today's numbers, how much money are we talking about for
you
Alabama?
You know, I really don't have those numbers at the tip of my fingertips, but what you've also got to factor in over that time is the economic benefit that it's going to bring into the state. Right now, we are paying Medicaid dollars out. Every individual in the state of Alabama is putting Medicaid dollars in, and they're going to other states that have expanded Medicaid. We need to keep some of those dollars home. So I don't have those right at my fingertips, but I can tell you the Pew Trust and a number of these folks that have looked at these that the studies about how much money that has been made and the economic factor. Let's put it in a different way. Every year, every year our economic development team, which has been doing a great job over the last 20 years, gives tax incentives and tax breaks to companies who want to invest in Alabama. This is the same thing. We're giving incentives to people to come in and to keep their hospitals open, doctors to come into these areas. And when you do that, it is one of the economic drivers of these rural areas.
Okay, so it's interesting, too, talking about it now, because strange thing, I talk about this a whole bunch. If we took a time machine back 10 years ago, the bills that are in Montgomery now that are Republican-backed bills and carried by Republicans, people would be shocked. I mean, we're talking about the gas tax increase that went through. Right. Of course, we're talking about the lotto here and even Republican support for the expansion of Medicaid.
Right. Look, this shouldn't be, it should have never been, Sean, it should have never been a political issue. It should have been a health issue. It should have been an economic issue. And I understand the reluctance about how are we going to pay for it down the road. That's a good thing. Even though people like David Bronner and all the economists said, this is really going to make Alabama money. You're going to bring in billions and billions of dollars based on this. I get the economics of it. But now we've got the evidence to show that in the long run, we're going to get not only money coming in, but think about the better health outcomes and how that will also help the bottom line for the state of Alabama. It's just a cascading effect, and I think right now people need to look at these issues not as whether it's Republican or Democrat, but they need to look at these issues. What is it going to do for the state of Alabama and the people of the state of Alabama? And let's get away from the political football.
Yeah, but at the same time, people look at that, and then they'll turn around and look at any given session in Montgomery, and we don't have money to do anything, it seems like. I mean, we have a general fund where we're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Well, it is a problem. I mean, you get what you pay for. We've got incredibly low taxes. People like that. I get that. But people also expect services from the state and from the federal government. And when you do things like this, when you look at the services that people want, they've got to figure out, how are we going to best get that? How are we going to best pay for this? How can we make sure that we get the services that the state of Alabama can provide? And again, I think you got to look long term. You got to look long ball here. If you can help the outcomes, the health outcomes of the people of the state of Alabama, you are ultimately going to save the state of Alabama money, whether it's Medicaid, whether it's Medicare, whether it is just general health outcomes in general. That is going to be a big boost to us. And we've got to look at it on a personal level as well.
All right. If you're just joining us, talking to Senator Doug Jones, also introducing legislation now to prevent hate crimes. Don't we have hate crime bills don't we have hate crime laws, you know, that are codified right now?
Well, we do have hate crimes. This is not codifying hate crimes anymore. What it's trying to do is to try to get another look and an examination by the Department of Justice as to the social media effect on hate crimes, the crimes themselves, not classifying. Now, I will tell you, we've got a lot of hate crimes. There's hate crimes on the books. There's hate crimes in the state of Alabama. They don't get reported that way a lot of times. There's a lot of reasons that communities are reluctant to report a hate crime. But when you're dealing with the proliferation of social media the way that we have in the last 10 years, really almost the last 5 years, there is no question in my view, as a former prosecutor, that there is a correlation between some of the speech that is going on on social media and some of the pure hate crimes that we've seen. We have seen such a dramatic rise, particularly in anti-Semitic crimes, Muslim crimes, African-American. There has been an increase in that over the last 5 years. What this bill is doing is going to try to look and see, is there a correlation? Is there something that we can learn from the social media? The last time we've looked at anything like this was 1993, and our world is a far different place now than it was in 1993.
Now, Senator Jones, I would worry, though, like it's always the devil is in the details. I think there's an example you could roll out easily that everybody would nod and agree, okay, yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, we see things manifested, and these are private companies or publicly traded companies in social media that will put their own definition, you know, that kind of seems to float on what hate speech is, right? And goes in and says, this is hate speech, and it may not meet the standard you're talking about.
Well, no, look, there is obviously concerns about free speech. There is no question about that. But I've got enough confidence in the Department of Commerce, the Department of Justice, to be able to cut through that. They understand where this comes from. We're not talking about necessarily prosecuting a crime as a hate crime. We're talking about trying to just identify and look at the correlation between what we clearly know to be hate-based criminal acts and social media and the growth of media in general.
And you think there's a direct corollary between the two?
You know, Sean, let me tell you, I'll give you a good example. I've been giving this speech, I say I haven't been for the last few years. I started giving this speech when I was a United States attorney in Birmingham. I would do PowerPoints with the rise of the Internet at the time. You can directly track the rise of neo-Nazi and white supremacist sites on the Internet that absolutely advocated for lone wolves to get out there and commit crimes. Those can all be documented. Now we've gotten to a point where between Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all this, that's taken this to a new level. It's not a site, it's not an organization, but it's individuals. And so, look, we started looking at this a long time ago, and I can tell you there was, I don't have it in front of me, but I can remember showing a slide back 15 years ago where a hate site and a leading member of the neo-Nazi in America was out there talking about committing crimes against Jews. And he ended by saying, good hunting lone wolves. Well, that's the kind of thing that's pretty obvious, and I think it can be documented. We just haven't done it in a long time.
Okay, but those things, I think, are the easy example. I think you'll have most people nod and agree. What I would worry about is, given that, If somebody disagrees with what somebody says, and I mean, this is, I go through this because I see things that, even if I disagree with something and I find it abhorrent what they're saying, I don't want to ban their ability to say it.
No,
I think you push things underground.
Unless it is inciting, right? There's one thing to be critical, to give you forms of expression. It's another thing to incite people to go out and commit crimes. That line is a little bit easier to distinguish. And I completely agree with you. I'm a big First Amendment guy. I do not want to curtail people's ability to give thoughts and expressions. But when they are actively trying to seek violence, that's a different issue. And it is a little bit easier to discern.
All right, a couple of things. We're going to run to the news break real fast and then come back. A couple more questions, if that's all right.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, because, there's questions I've got, and I got a bunch in here on the text line. All right, coming right back, more with Senator Doug Jones, and we'll get your questions. If you're stacking them up, you put them on the text line at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1248 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And Senator Doug Jones, our guest this half hour. Thanks for making time for us, and we have a lot of questions to get into as well on votes in Washington that are not as directly, well, maybe as directly linked back here to Alabama, because you were a no vote on the Green New Deal the other day. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. That was I watched the video. I watched Senator Schumer looking at you. You looking at him, and you were a no vote.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think that the new Green Deal is anything more than an aspirational way to start a climate change debate. And let me say, I think it is, because it was way too far to address things that I don't think really had anything to do with climate, and a whole bunch. It was a checklist for a lot of people. What I do think, though, is that we need to have a little bit more sense of urgency with regard to where we are on the climate and the planet. Clearly, things are changing, and we need to address it. And for so long, Sean, people just argued about who caused it, and they were pointing fingers. And I think now we're looking at both businesses, the political circles, interest groups. Everybody is looking and saying, okay, let's get past who caused this, and what can we do? And let's do some reasonable things that we can do, because I think we can use this opportunity to actually create jobs and in new energy, you know, new clean energy. We can use this to our benefit, but it's got to be phased in. You cannot completely just start flipping switches, which is the way I thought the new Green Deal would do it.
Yeah, it seemed to be a lot wider ranging. Well, first of all, wide ranging on the environmental front, but it seemed to move into a lot of areas outside of just environmental policy.
It did, for sure. And that's, I understand some colleagues voting present as a form of protest, but I generally try not to cast protest votes.
All right. This one, back to our discussion before the news break here. David says, what happens if the Affordable Care Act is struck down and we have expanded Medicaid and Medicare?
Well, I think we've still got the issues. The same act would still apply. You can still do some things. I think that is a legitimate question. I'm hoping that's not going to happen. If that happens, to David's point, if that happens, it's going to cause chaos in the entire healthcare marketplace. There is going to be a lot of people in Alabama that suffer. There's going to be a lot of people across the country that suffer. I cannot for the life of me figure out at this point where we are with the Affordable Care Act. Why are we not looking to try to take the concerns that some people have and address those concerns? The president says he wants to protect people with pre-existing conditions. How are you going to do that? I mean, we've got this lawsuit pending out there with no alternative plan except on prescription drugs, and that's something that I think there's going to be some bipartisan movement this year, is to lower the prescription drug prices and try to get that into the Affordable Care Act somehow.
It goes back, though. The tough thing is, every year that's gone on, the pragmatist will dominate the discussion, because you go back to, I'd like to ask you, on an idealistic front, is it the province of government to require American citizens to purchase something?
Well, I don't know if it's the province, but one of the things that I think the Affordable Care Act could do was to try to figure out, we live in a capitalistic society, and if we want to let the market handle these things the way it should be doing, we got to get more people into the market that are young, and we got to get folks in the market that are healthy, that are willing to buy insurance and do some of those things. I don't have all the answers on that. I think that the mandate was one way to do that. I have not heard anybody else really propose something of trying to get those folks into the market that is going to help lower the cost of health care premiums. So I'm wide open to discussions about that. I don't like mandates any more than the next person, but at the same time, I think when you're trying to do something for the good of the entire population, that, you know, sometimes it's at least an alternative that has to be explored. It may be a potential that we have a public option that folks can buy into with a public option. That's one thing that's looked about, and that may be a way that you can do that in an affordable way, and it would encourage people to do that. Right now, we have trouble getting young people into the healthcare system because they think they're never going to get sick, they're never going to get hurt, they're never going to die. And unfortunately, we know that that's not the case.
Well, eventually they will do all those, but you know, when they're young, yeah, I mean, and even the way it's laid out now, you can game the system, you know, on this. And I mean, look at what the penalties are, because it was weak-willed, because there wasn't full-throated support for this. The penalties aren't enough to, you know, somebody can play the system and not get health insurance, get it once they have an issue, and still not be out of pocket more than they would have been.
Sure.
You know,
look, I mean, every system that Congress or the Alabama legislature creates, every system that private companies create, somebody's going to find a way to game it. We got to do the best that we can do. And I think that was an effort. Instead of just throwing the entire baby out with the bathwater, we need to start trying to figure out the best way to get people into this market and lower costs. You get lower insurance costs when you have a bigger, healthier pool of people that are paying in to the market. There's no question about that. That's economics 101.
Yeah, but what about, that was, you know, we were told that this would bring down what it cost us for health insurance from the get-go, and I know you probably hear from a lot of the constituents, and I'd be one of them, and, you know, I've done nothing but pay more since this was passed.
It has had some effect with people, particularly employer-based health plans that did go up. Those have somewhat been stabilized right now. But there was also a lot of uncertainty when those employee plans were going up because nobody knew. If you remember, most of the increases in that occurred during a time when Congress was working to try to repeal and replace with no real replacement plan. And uncertainty creates a lot of problems in the market as well. So people were increasing their premiums for a rainy day. That has settled down a fair amount, I think, now. I think there's still some modest increases, but not near like we saw initially when everybody was still talking about completely getting away from the Affordable Care Act.
Well, yeah, it's the new, right, beyond the new normal, the increases haven't been much, but it went up so fast, so much so quickly that it set this benchmark now at a higher level, and people are still reeling from that. So, I think that's everyday, that's kitchen table economics, right?
Yeah,
that's everyday,
no,
how much money I have.
I agree with you. And the other thing we're trying to do in the Health Committee, and this is, I think, and Senator Alexander from Tennessee is the chairman of that committee, and we've been trying to have hearings of what can we do to bring down health care cost in general. I mean, a lot of our health care cost is driven by prescription drug prices, and so we're looking at that specifically. Then, and I think ways that we can try to figure out the best way to lower the cost of health care in general is another way that we can help lower those premiums. It is a complicated mess, Sean. Everybody knows it. It is a complicated mess, and it ended up being more political than it ended up being practical.
All right, this one down here in southwest Alabama, big deal, and heck, they make it a big deal elsewhere in the state as well. The I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, what's the deal here? Why are we having to pay this? Does the senator know why we're getting stuck with a toll bridge on I-10 over the Mobile River and the Bayway?
Well, it's my understanding nothing has been completely decided about that. I know that the city is looking still for a lot of federal monies to try to help. Senator Shelby and I both are working on that to try to see what we can come up with to help push that along. I think we're still too far down the road. I mean, we're not far enough down the road to see final determinations on if there will be a toll. The odds are, I think there probably will be, but then how much is that going to be? Is it going to be something where people pay passes, buy yearly passes that are going to be a lot less? The problem, again, here's the problem we continually face, is we've got a situation out there on I-10 that is really bad. People, everybody understands it. They know it. So the question is, how do we pay for something going forward? Do we pay for it by the people that are using it? Do we pay for it with taxpayer money from up and down and around the country? It's the age-old problem. We got a serious problem there in Mobile that needs to be addressed, and it's going to cost a boatload of money. How do we best pay for it?
Even though I have seen, there are a few places where there has been precedent set, but I tell you, everybody's initial reaction was, how are you tolling an interstate? How are you doing this? Something that people even would say, okay, well, the bridge, that's new, but the current way we go through the tunnel, you're tolling that too.
Yeah, but Sean, let me tell you, here's the thing that what you're seeing more and more, and that is whether it's an interstate or whether it's a state highway, more and more you're looking at private and public partnerships. And if you get into a private partnership, they're going to want to have a profit. They're going to want to make money off of it. They're not into it just for the good, and they're not using taxpayer money. So there are more and more folks advocating for these public-private partnerships, and when you do that, there's going to be more and more toll roads, whether it's on an interstate, whether it's on, the Gulf Shores Parkway, that over in Baldwin County. There's going to be more and more of those. Unfortunately, Alabama is not really set to do a lot of that in our state, but that's exactly why the I-10 corridor is being looked at that way, because it connects, all the way to New Orleans to the beaches of Florida and goes right through through Mobile and Baldwin County.
All right, and I hate that we ran out of time because I have some other questions about Alabama Democrat Party politics, but maybe I can get you back on soon to talk about that going forward.
You got it, Sean. Anytime, just let us know.
All right, Senator Doug Jones, and we're coming right back. Hour number 2 of Midday Mobile, right here on FM Talk 106.5.